You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns.
Hello and welcome to The Football Hour, the Champions League podcast, where we are going to review all four of the English team's performances in the Champions League this week. Dom Betts is joined with me, Alex Mearns, and Dom, we've got to start in one place. Manchester, the blue half, because they're the only half of Manchester in the Champions League this season. What's a second half performance from the boys in blue?
Unbelievable. They just didn't let Barcelona in the game. Obviously, there was one chance when Andre Gomes hit the bar. But apart from that, they just didn't have any chance. They shut them all out and played exceptionally well.
So what happened in the second half? I thought they suffocated Barcelona. I've never seen a team get round them, and every time they had the ball, because obviously Barcelona have players who like to dribble, like to pass. We know they like to pass, but they didn't allow them time on the ball. They were a pack of wolves, the City boys. And once that ball was back, it was so quickly into Gundogan's feet, or Silva's feet, Sterling's feet, De Bruyne's feet, and they were gone. The moment they won the ball back in their own half, it was like they were at the Barcelona penalty box in a blink of an eye. They were so fast, weren't they?
Well, so we saw City win their first six games of the season in the Premier League, and they were good there, but I have not seen them this good. Unbelievable. So if we go through the goals, Barcelona opened the scoring.
A fantastic
one. Wonderful counter-attack goal. Messi starts the ball in his own half.
But it came from a City corner.
Yeah, it came from a City corner. Messi then gets the ball, lays it into Neymar. Neymar runs and dribbles the whole entire pitch and lays it into Messi.
It's the weight of the pass to Messi, because Messi's running at a million miles an hour to keep it with play, didn't he, Dom? And it's the weight of the pass. So Messi just had to have one touch. Gracefully curls it.
And only Messi would somehow find that much space to just himself in the box. But after that, I didn't think Barcelona threatened that much, to be perfectly honest with you.
Can we talk about the Barca goal, though? Because I thought it could have easily been stopped. It's a corner. Why is Neymar in his own half, he's onside, with no one marking him, no one goal side? Pep can see he was on Pep's side. I thought, can he not shout to his players and drag someone back?
You can say that, obviously, in hindsight, but then it is just Barcelona and they're amazing at that sort of counter-attacking in the Champions League.
But I think that's naive defending.
Oh, no, it's not the greatest defending, 100%, but you still have to give credit to Barcelona for how much of a good counter-attack the goal was.
A player who I thought performed brilliantly. We don't sort of identify English players performing well in Europe and for their country in Europe. I thought Raheem Sterling just once again showed a maturity in his play. He should have had a penalty first half. He got a yellow card for diving. That's just laughable. What?
I'd understand, right, if the referee waved away the claim and didn't book him for diving.
Because it wasn't a dive, because he got touched. If you don't think it's a penalty,
I don't know, 60-40 challenge, 70-30 challenge. It's not a 50-50. But then obviously, booking him for diving is just stupid.
If we just come away from City and Barca and just talk about the refereeing in the Champions League this game week, and, well, since it started this season, the amount of times people just throw themselves to the floor and get free kicks because the ref is like, he's on the floor, he must have been hurt, he must have been touched. Raheem Sterling was definitely touched and he still gets a card. I just thought it was laughable that decision was gave, but they give everything. I could literally breathe on you, Dom, and that'll be a foul in the Champions League game. It's so soft.
But it's always been like that, though, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not even from an English mentality of, we've got to be hard. Go on, it's tackle, elbows, punch. Like, I didn't mean it like that. I meant in the sense of, it's getting silly. It's literally getting silly, where the players are just losing the ball and throwing themselves on the floor to earn a free kick because he's lost the ball. But shut up, man. You're going on a bit of a rant.
So if we look at City's equaliser, right?
Yeah.
So it's down to their pressing of the Barcelona back line, which is how Agüero gets the ball off Sergio Roberto after he made a mistake, lays it into Sterling, then plays it into Gundogan, who buries it into the back of the net. But I think City did well to press this Barca back line because it wasn't their first choice back 11. No. Back four. Like, you had Sergio Roberto at right back, who I always seen as a centre midfielder.
Right.
Then you have, Lucas Digne, however you say his name, who they bought from PSG. Then you had the likes of
Umtiti, first season. Ter Stegen, he's played in the Champions League a lot, but is his first full season playing? That's probably what Pep said at half time. You're giving these boys too easy of a ride. These boys are there to be got at. This Barcelona team isn't the first 11. Go and get them. Make them cause mistakes, and they did. Dom, I want to ask you about a player who I think is becoming their new Vincent Kompany. Otamendi. Are you thinking the same as me, or do you not?
In my City team, I'd rather have Otamendi than have Vincent Kompany
at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know where this myth has come from that Vincent Kompany is still this world-class centre-back? Because he's not. He was, and now he's not. He's a good centre-back still, don't get me wrong, but he's not a world-class centre-back.
Is he having a problem like Jack Wilshere, that he's been so long without playing, it's taking him too long when he comes back to get back up to fitness, so then it causes injuries?
Otamendi, people said he had a shaky first season at City, but that was after he had an excellent season at Valencia, because next to him he had Mustafi, who's now at Arsenal, and Diego Alves in goal, the penalty saving king, and that defence was brilliant. And Otamendi is finally showing that he's a quality defender, because he's not slow by any stretch of imagination. He's got a great bit of pace about him. And he's physical as well.
He's physical, but he's not tall. He has to leap, and he does cause a lot of fouls. He goes on mad runs to try win the ball back. I think that's what Pep wants from his centre-backs, to go and be aggressive. John Stones went so far into the Barca half to get the ball back. He made the tackle but put Suarez in for an assist. It didn't get a goal, but they're so front foot, the defenders. Let's ask the question then. They fully deserved to win, didn't they, that game?
100%. It was a pretty even first half, to be perfectly honest. Neither team was mesmerising. It was just quite a cagey first half. I seem to always use the word cagey when describing a close game, but that's what it was.
Yeah,
that's simply what it was. And then,
it's funny though, you put Aguero in the team against Barca, you're a better side.
Funny that when you play a striker, you're a better team.
Yeah, isn't it?
So then, well, I don't know what Pep said at half time, but he said something.
So is this a message, this 3-1 against Barcelona, with Neymar, Suarez, Messi all playing, is this a message to the rest of Europe that they are an elite team now?
Yeah, they're viewed as an elite team because of their manager. That's why they were viewed as an elite team. The players hadn't necessarily proved it at all in Europe until last season.
Did the players prove it this week?
They 100% proved it. They were phenomenal in that, especially in that second half. If we move on to some of the other goals, like Kevin De Bruyne's free kick, unbelievable. People said it's bad goalkeeping. I don't believe so. I think Ter Stegen's expecting him to hit it over the wall. He sees that top corner. It's not, no, mate, I'm both footed, I'm pinging this with my right straight into that top corner. It was a great free kick from Kevin De Bruyne.
Do you understand the comparison? I know he's just scored a free kick, but the way he crosses a ball, the way he hits sort of a dead ball, he reminds me of David Beckham in his technique. It's very pure, and you can see it's down to practice. It's not fluky.
I see David Beckham with a player with more finesse.
Right.
Whereas with De Bruyne, it's just direct power. Well, I can see where it comes from, Frasen. They've both got an unbelievable delivery of the ball. And for me, De Bruyne has been City's best player this season. 100%.
Can you believe Chelsea let him go?
I know. And whose fault was that? Oh, Mourinho.
Mourinho, who's playing Europa League football for a team sitting in eighth.
Yeah, be lucky to make the Europa League next season at this rate.
I know we're talking about the teams in the Champions League, but would that game this week, City in Manchester at the Etihad with Pep Guardiola as manager, is this the first time where we could say Manchester United are looking in going, I'm jealous now, I'm really jealous?
Well, of course, it's sort of been heading that way ever since Ferguson left.
But
I think this is the first time United fans are possibly acknowledging that, oh, we might be becoming the smaller club. Not over history-wise, but playing ability and, oh, I'd like to be at the Etihad that night. Those are the sort of nights we used to have at Old Trafford.
Yes.
But now we're not having them. Now City are having them at the Etihad, or City Manchester Stadium, Eastlands, whatever it's called now.
Well, that's enough about City. Let's move on to Arsenal, who are sitting top of the group, level on points with PSG, Dom. They went 2-0 down to a team called Ludogorets. No, I don't know either. Ask the question, where are they from? I don't know. They were 2-0 down after 15 minutes, so thinking, what are Arsenal doing here? Defensive problems at set pieces again. They turned it round, though.
Yeah, I thought they were obviously very slow out the blocks. Maybe they underestimated Ludogorets.
I think that's a good point.
And it could even be that, oh, it's a game in November and there's something mental.
Really? Go on, explain.
Well, November is the month where their average points is the lowest. I know it's only in the Premier League. No. But in November, I think the average points is below 2. It's like 1.9 or something like that. I'm not saying there is, but possibility, something mental. But I think they'll just slow out the blocks. Underestimated Ludogorets, which surprised me, because they were quite good in the 6-0 loss against Arsenal.
And
they were still going forward.
They gave PSG a performance, didn't they? When PSG went to
it's just because they're from, like, not a massive footballing nation like Bulgaria. They don't expect much. But they got some good technical players going forward. Like that Jonathan Cafu guy who got the first. I've been quite impressed with him.
Yeah, very impressive. But you've got to be more impressive with Arsenal's comeback. It's a very Arsenal scoreline, 3-2. So, Xhaka got the first.
Yeah.
I thought Giroud's goal was brilliant.
Thing is, with things that annoyed me with the whole Giroud situation stuff, Giroud got another goal, so it sort of starts again the argument, is he underrated, over-criticised? But then, if you're playing Giroud up front, why are you playing Ramsey on the wing?
But Ramsey provided the cross for
exactly.
Giroud.
Exactly. The one time he did put a cross in, right. Giroud scored. And with a Giroud, Giroud's a striker where you're putting balls in the box. Ramsey's not the winger you need. Why was Oxlade-Chamberlain not on the wing that game? He would put in a lot more balls in for Giroud. I'm not saying Ramsey's a bad player at all, but he isn't the type of winger you want when you're playing the likes of Giroud. Ramsey, if you have Sanchez up front, then perfectly put Ramsey on the right-hand side. But if you're playing Giroud, you need someone who's going to be whipping balls in the box. And Ramsey didn't do that enough. And the one time he did...
It is his second game back.
I know it's his second game back, but it's just the play style.
Okay. I want to ask the question then about Ramsey, because I think he's Arsenal's third best player behind Ozil, Sanchez... And
well,
Ozil and Sanchez. Yeah, I think he's their third best player. Made the team of the tournament, the Euros. I think he's very similar to Frank Lampard, I think. I think he's one of the best midfielders who gets into the box and can score goals. He just needs to sort his injuries out. I think he's better than Jack Wilshere. I think that's proved why Jack Wilshere's gone out on loan and they're waiting for Ramsey to come back from injury. So Ramsey clearly wants to play through the centre. What is their starting 11 going to be? Where is Ramsey going to be playing? Who's getting in? Is Xhaka in? Is Cazorla in? Is Ramsey in? Elneny? Who's playing in them three positions?
Ozil, in the number 10, he has to play there.
Right.
I know he can play at wide, but you've seen how devastating is playing number 10 this season. The holding midfield position, I've always liked the idea or had the idea that when you have two holding players, you don't want two of the same. You want one defensive player,
right.
Like a Francis Coquelin, like a Mohamed Elneny. And then you have...
Ramsey running up.
Then you have like a Ramsey, Santi Cazorla, or Granit Xhaka. So, yes, on paper, their two best holding players is between Cazorla, Ramsey, and Xhaka. But you need the holding player who gives you that offensive cover.
That's
like
really interesting.
Like a Coquelin. I think you need to play Coquelin there. And then the next position is between Cazorla, Xhaka, and Ramsey. In that position, I believe the best player there is Granit Xhaka.
I believe you're wrong.
I don't believe he's a better player than Aaron Ramsey. But in that position, I believe he's better than Aaron Ramsey. Aaron Ramsey's best position is like a number 10. Granit Xhaka suits that position so well. And Ramsey does to an extent, but it's not his best position.
I think Ramsey's so good, he's going to be playing. When he gets back fully fit, he is part of their 1-11. I think he's better than Cazorla.
You can't drop Xhaka the way he's been playing this season.
I think you can.
There's no reason
behind
it.
New person into the club, I don't think he's scored some worldy goals, yes, but has he put in 90-minute performances? I'm not entirely sure.
I mean, yeah, everyone just says, he's always scoring his goals, but the amount of long-range accurate passes he's doing this season has been phenomenal.
All right, let's talk about a player who is definitely starting for Arsenal. He scored the winning goal. It's we've got Mesut Ozil. Dom, this season has been immense.
That goal, he didn't need to do what he did. It's all right.
Fantastic run, wasn't
it? Yeah, brilliant run by Ozil. Then he dinks it over the goalkeeper. Then there's still two defenders there. So you're like, and Arsenal fans were like, Ozil, just shoot, mate. He dummies one. Dummies the next. And buries it into the back of the net to give Arsenal the 3-2 win. This makes everyone questioning Alan Shearer's argument that Aguero is the only world-class player in the league. Ozil is world-class. There's no argument.
Aguero and Ozil are the two best players in the Premier League.
They're the only two world-class outfield players in the league.
Yes. It reminded me very much of Lionel Messi.
Oh, yes,
the way
so
he
much,
the
yeah.
keeper and then just says, bye, defenders. Bye, defenders. I'm just going to take it this way. I'm not going to shoot. It was glorious. It was elegant. It was so Mesut Ozil. Everything is in control. It was so controlled, Dom. I'm going to ask a question now, then. I'm going to ask two questions. Was that goal better than the Dennis Bergkamp goal against Newcastle?
No, only because it's me. And that goal by Dennis Bergkamp is my favourite ever goal I've seen scored.
So what does he do against Newcastle? Remind.
Ball comes into his feet, flicks it round defender one way, runs round the other, and then just finesses it into the far corner against Shea Given at St. James's Park.
I think
it's better. I love that Bergkamp goal so much.
It was beautiful, beautiful. It's probably that Ozil goal is the goal that comes closest to that Bergkamp goal. I wouldn't say it's better. I'd say they're just two tremendous goals. You're going to go Bergkamp. Well, I'm going to go against you then. I'll go Ozil.
So what was the second question you wanted to ask?
Second question was, if Arsenal win the Premier League, is Ozil a better player than Bergkamp? Is that the one thing he needs to be a better player than Bergkamp?
If he wins the Premier League, I think it puts him maybe on par with Dennis Bergkamp, but not better. I think Bergkamp had so much more to his game. No, I'm not saying... I had goals. Much more... So many more goals than Ozil.
Yes, I'd say he was much more clinical in front of goal. Often Mesut Ozil freezes under chances.
Yeah, because they're both world-class players. But if Ozil wants to be better than Dennis Bergkamp...
Ozil World Cup.
He should be scoring more goals, I'd say.
Okay, all right. No, it's an interesting point, though.
But then
he's close, though. That's what we're saying. He's close.
It's just asking me who's... I wouldn't say any footballer's better than Dennis Bergkamp because I love that man so much.
Right.
My favourite non-Fulham player to ever play football.
Two unbelievable players. So, Arsenal are now level on points with PSG. The next game
is against the French champions, isn't it? It's in like two or three weeks. Can't wait for that game.
Who's going to win that game?
Going to go with Arsenal because PSG, they've been poor in the league. The best teams in the French league this season has been Monaco and Nice. And Monaco doing well in the Champions League as well, to be perfectly quite frankly. They're in Spurs group, who we're going to move on to later. But I think Arsenal, because it's at the Emirates, are going to win 2-0.
What I'd say is Arsenal need to win that game. They need to come top of their group because they're getting knocked out too many times in the last 16.
And they're beating,
because they finished
second. And it means they're beating a big European club. I mean, PSG, I know they're in the French league, but they got to the semi-finals of the Champions League last season. So I think it will breed confidence into the squad that they can go on and do things, this Arsenal team.
All right, let's move on to their North London rivals, Tottenham Hotspur. Their second game at Wembley Stadium in the Champions League. God, Dom. They lost 1-0 to Bayer Leverkusen. I'll tell the truth, I wanted to watch the full 90 minutes. I watched the first half. I was bored stiff. I was really bored, so I turned on the Leicester second half. That was a wrong decision because that was a bit boring as well. Let's talk Tottenham, though. Kevin Campbell scored the only goal for Bayer Leverkusen. What is going wrong for Spurs in the Champions League?
It's sort of like what City had when they came into the Champions League.
I'd say City were playing much harder teams than what Tottenham
They're playing harder teams, but it was an awful performance from Spurs last night. The only even chances I remember was the penalty shout in the first half. Mm. Did you think it was a penalty?
No.
Do you think it was a dive?
I don't know. I don't want to have a go at the lad. He's got that in his locker, though.
That was like their best chance in the first half. A penalty shout was their best chance in the first half. And then in the second half, you had, if you're going to count it, the Eriksen shot from about 40 yards out, which the keeper just caught. And then you did unbelievable Eric Dier free kick, which unfortunately just hit the underside of the bar.
It's still not enough. 85,000 people went to see them at Wembley.
It was an awful
performance.
They're
calling it this Wembley effect, that because they're not playing at White Hart Lane, that's why they can't perform. Come on, lads, this is the Champions League. You should be able to perform anywhere. You can't blame a stadium for your players'
fault. No, you can't, because they haven't won a game since the 2nd of October over a month ago against Man City. That was the last game they won. And they haven't scored a goal that hasn't been a free kick or a penalty since the 15th of October. And that was Dele Alli against West Brom.
Yeah, I've got some more awful stats to do with their goal scoring. It's been 913 minutes of football since Harry Kane got injured against Sunderland on the 18th of September. They've scored 13 times, and 5 of those 13 goals came against Gillingham in the League Cup. That's over 10 games of football, and they've only got 8 goals.
And
if
then
you take
probably
the Gillingham.
Like 90% of the other goals have been penalties by Vincent Janssen.
We all praise Pochettino as this brilliant manager on the training ground. Is he a bad manager in negotiations of players and scouting of players? Because I'd say their summer transfers are really poor. They knew they were going into a Champions League campaign.
The only one who's impressed
players.
Me so far has been Victor Wanyama.
Even he, Victor Wanyama, looked so out of depth, I thought, in the Champions League. And granted, he's not played a lot of Champions League football. Well, he's not played any Champions League football before. He played Celtic, actually.
Actually, under Celtic, yeah.
Yeah, he's played for Celtic. But the Tottenham side, they're very inexperienced in the Champions League. But I just thought he didn't look great. Eric Dier clearly isn't a Champions League centre-back. Why didn't they bring in another centre-back in the summer? Clearly Pochettino doesn't fancy Wimmer, their third-choice centre-back, so they're playing their centre-defensive midfielder.
Yeah, the only other centre-back they've even brought into the squad is that Cameron Carter-Vickers, who they've just done a Chelsea and been loaning him out every other season.
Let's talk Kyle Walker. I want to ask this question. If he had the pace of Gareth Barry, would he be a professional footballer?
He definitely wouldn't be a defender. Because he can't defend to save his life.
Well, where else would he play? If he had the pace of Gareth Barry, would he be a professional?
I'll tell you where he'd play. He'd be playing
for Gillingham
on Northwick Park on a Sunday morning for Northwick Park FC or whatever team it is.
His pace gets him out of so many problems because of his football ability putting him in them problems. If that makes sense, I think. So Where are Tottenham going to go? Are they going to qualify? They're 2 points off Bayer Leverkusen now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Monaco are top.
I don't believe they are. I can't see them beating Monaco at Monaco.
Okay.
I think the best thing for them is to finish fourth, so they don't end up... I know they won't, because they won't finish below CSK, but then putting them in Europa League is just going to make it worse.
Well, they don't want to be in that competition.
Exactly. And I don't think they're going to finish second, because I can't see them beating Monaco. And to finish second, they're pretty much going to have to win both their games.
The media seem to give Pochettino such a free ride, because he has done very well. But last season, his team did sort of bottle the league. They're underperforming in the Champions League. I know that they're unbeaten. They're still unbeaten in the league,
but that
we're
means nothing.
Down about it, but Pochettino has a big job on now to turn this round in the Champions League. Is he up for it?
This is the tournament which Tottenham dream over. They've only been in it once before in the last 10, 15 years, and they did really well that time. And this time, it's been shockingly bad. Shockingly bad. I mean, 2 goals in 4 Champions League games. What's that about? Even CSK have scored more. I know they conceded more.
It's about Harry Kane, it seems. It's about, they have to
you just
get
can't see
Harry
where
Kane
you can't out. See where the goals are coming
no,
from. And it's weird because they have so many goal scoring midfielders in the likes of Christian Eriksen, Eric Lamella, Hung Min Son, Dele Alli.
They need that striker, the connection with him.
They don't have that connection with Vincent Janssen.
No, they don't. Let's move on to a team we can be a bit more upbeat about. Dom, Leicester City, the champions of England, are sitting top of their group with 10 points after 4 games. They are yet to concede a goal. This is just another fairy tale, isn't it?
It is unbelievable. Not to concede a goal after 4 Champions League games. It's unbelievable. I mean,
they've been letting so many in the league.
I mean, you watched the second half of the game last night. Was it just a scrappy game or were they just good defensively?
Copenhagen, if they got a goal, you'd probably say, fair enough, they might have deserved it. But that's Leicester in a nutshell, isn't it? Holding on. Do you know what? I thought they played the ball along the floor too much in the second half.
What, Leicester?
Yeah. Do you know what my drug is, Dom?
Danny Drinkwater, over the top, to Jamie Vardy,
yes!
Bangs it, first time, top bins.
Yes, that is my drug of choice. If I could ring a drug dealer up and order a Danny Drinkwater over the top to Jamie Vardy, I would. Do you know when Jamie Vardy's got his 10 yards behind a defender and you see the ball looping over, it's like Usain Bolt giving me and you a 50-metre start in the 100 metres. You know he's still going to win it. You just know he's still going to win it. And I want to see more of that, of Danny Drinkwater just going, I'm not passing to you, Mahrez. I'm going to my mate, Jamie. And he is going to fly past these Copenhagen defenders. Porto must have won last night, didn't they, against Bruges?
They did get a win last night against Bruges, yes.
3 points off Leicester. They just need one more win, don't they, from the next 2 games?
Yeah.
But they've got Porto away and Bruges
at home. Because Bruges at home is their next game, I believe. Because they played Bruges away as their first Champions League game.
Okay. They can do it, can't they?
They can.
They can come top
Club
of the...
Bruges have scored one and conceded 10 and lost all 4 of their games so far, which annoys me because I like Club Bruges. I went on holiday to Bruges a few times around Christmas, got a Club Bruges scarf and everything.
They're not going to get 3 points from Leicester.
No, they're not. Leicester win, they've won the group.
Well done, boys. So go on, say it, Dom.
Well done, Leicester. Porto, they're no mugs.
Mate, exactly.
They've had so many good players over the years as well.
A team like Porto, even Copenhagen, Bruges, they've all played in this competition before. Leicester haven't. I know it's not a difficult group, but wouldn't you say Copenhagen and Bruges were looking at Leicester going, this might be our year to come third or second in the group?
Exactly. That has to be their thinking, because they're like, oh, we've got an easy group. Porto probably like, mate, we're walking this.
Yeah, we're going to walk this. But Leicester are just carrying on the miracle. You know what? I really want them to keep going. I want them to get next round, get someone easy in the next round. Then we go into the quarters, Dom, and I want them to beat someone. I just want them to keep going. I want this miracle to stay alive. Let's hope so. Dom, that's it from the Champions League. Anything other to say other than Gareth Bale's goal for Real Madrid?
Unbelievable. But what a game that was as well.
Yeah.
3-3.
What happened?
It was just when Ligia Warsaw went up 3-2 in like the 80 something. I was like, no.
Well, Real Madrid were 2-0 up.
I know. I was like, this hasn't just happened. and you obviously, you knew Madrid were going to equalise. It's Real Madrid. But when we were 3-2, we're like, oh my God. But the funniest thing was, it had to be played behind closed doors.
Mm.
So there were no fans there. So it was just the people watching on TV going absolutely mental.
Gareth Bale has just signed a new contract with Real Madrid to 2022.
Yeah, that's 600 grand a week or something like that.
£650,000 a week. Does he deserve that contract?
With contracts, I see it as if you want to keep a player at the club, you pay them the going rate to stay at the club. And because he's not the world's most expensive player, he's the second most expensive player in the world, his original contract must have been massive, so they're just paying him what they need to keep him at the club. But I think he does deserve it because he got so much stick in his first season. We've mentioned it before, and over the last 18 months, maybe two seasons, he's just progressed so much as a player, matured so much as a player.
What scored the winning goal in the Champions League, even though they won 4-1, he got the second one.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically won at least two trophies for them.
Yes.
He won them the Copa del Rey in his first season, and then won them pretty much Champions League
was the
final
best
last
player
season.
In the Champions League final 100%, last 100%. Year. I'm sure Ronaldo will be ringing up Florentino Perez going, how much is Bale on? Because I want double. But that's just Cristiano Ronaldo for you. Dom, English team of the week?
Man City, 100%.
It's got to be after that performance. This has been the Champions League podcast for the Football Hour. As I keep saying, if you're listening on iTunes, please subscribe. We have a great thing coming up to do with a company called DraftKings, Dom, but we'll keep you updated with that. It was all about fantasy sports picking players, isn't it?
So that's your thing. Keep listening.
Yeah, if that's your thing, we're going to get you involved with that. We'll be talking about that in other podcasts soon. This has been the Football Hour. That was Dom Betts, and I've been Alex Mearns. Thank you for listening.
This is Dom Betts and Alex Mearns on the Football Hour.